Skagway Assembly continues talks on trapping, and mermaids and base jumpers entertain on a big screen this weekend. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next.
The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday, and trapping is on the agenda again. The proposed changes to a local ordinance about trapping appeared before the Assembly at its last meeting. Several residents spoke out against the changes, and there were some supporters of the proposed restrictions. The issue had come up twice before in the Civics Affairs Committee, but Committee Chair and Assemblyman Jim Sager said the committee meetings were predominantly attended by trappers. At the Assembly meeting, he suggested referring the ordinance back to committee so it could continue holding meetings on it and gather more input from other segments of the community. Some of the regulations proposed in the ordinance include prohibiting trapping on municipal property within 150 yards in any direction of trails and roadways, requiring all traps be labeled with trappers' names and phone number, and requiring warning signs near trap lines. Exceptions are allowed for scientific work, government agencies required to use trapping, or people with documented small animal nuisance problems who get approval from the chief of police. The Assembly will hold a first reading of the ordinance Thursday, meaning it won't be up for adoption, just discussion and possible amendments, and a vote to move it to the second reading at the next meeting. Also up for discussion is the National Park Service's proposed changes to the Dyea area. A public comment period is now open about the changes. The U.S. Department of the Interior, in a letter to the municipality, says the proposed changes to Dyea include upgrading the Dyea Flats Road, establishing a formal entrance into Dyea Historic Town Site, rerouting trails, establishing commercial use, and addressing graves within park boundaries that are threatened by changes in the Taya River. The public comment period is open through March 28th. The Assembly is expecting to go into executive session to discuss candidates for the borough manager position. For a complete agenda and meeting packet, visit skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers.
State officials recently released documents showing how much each legislator spent on travel last year. The totals range from a little more than $1,000 to almost $50,000. Two of the most expensive travelers are from Southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Senator Bert Stedman spent more on legislative travel last year than any other lawmaker. The Sitka Republican spent more than $47,000 for airfare, lodging, car rentals, meals, and other costs. That's about a third more than the previous year.
I've never been number one before. I don't know if that's good or bad.
About 40% of Stedman's charges covered meetings and trainings for the Energy Council, which he chaired for most of the year. The organization includes lawmakers from energy-producing states and provinces, as well as Venezuela. Members meet quarterly, and Stedman attended additional events.
So it is important that we get outside and educate ourselves on how the industry works and how to structure policies to keep them competitive in a global environment.
In all, 20 of Alaska's 60 lawmakers attended at least one Energy Council meeting. A lot of Stedman's other reimbursed travel covered trips to most of the 27 communities in his district. It runs from Metlakatla to Haines.
So you should see rural legislators really stick out. I'm not talking about out-of-state travel, but in-state, just because we've got to get around.
Some other lawmakers with big districts also racked up large travel bills, but most high spenders were in leadership posts. The state paid almost $1 million last year for all 60 legislators' travel. That's up about 50% from 2012. Another Southeast representative, Peggy Wilson, was eighth on the travel expense list. The Wrangell Republican spent more than $35,000 during 2013.
Now that we have a 90-day session, we actually have more committee meetings outside of session. And for me to go to a meeting in Anchorage, it takes 3 days for sure, depending on what time of day the meetings are.
Wilson is in her fourth year serving as majority whip, a House leadership position. She says that sent her to in-state organizational meetings and other events. Wilson also traveled to meetings and academies put on by the National Conference of State Legislatures, the Council of State Governments, and the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. That's where close to half her total travel costs went.
Do you ever turn down invitations to attend?
A lot, yes. I could be gone all the time. But, you know, you just can't go to everyone. So you try to pick and choose which ones you think are going to be the most meaningful.
Wilson's 2013 total showed a fivefold increase from the previous year. Southeast's other three sitting lawmakers were in the bottom third of the travel spending list. Juneau Republican Representative Kathy Munoz was 42nd out of 60, with about $7,000 in spending. Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ-Tompkins was 52nd at about $4,500, and Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan was 55th, with only $3,300 spent on travel. Former House Minority Caucus leader Beth Kurtula came in 35th, with about $11,000 spent. The Juneau Democrat resigned her post last month to take a job at California Stanford University. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
The Clekwan Chilcats defended their title, sweeping the Dick Hotch tournament over the weekend. Five teams took part in the tournament, which has been held annually for more than 30 years. The teams this year included the Chilcats, two Haines teams, the Haines Merchants and the Harbor Heat, and a Hoonah and Juneau team. The Chilcats went 5-0 in the tournament and 3-0 in early round robin play. The team defeated the Harbor team on Saturday afternoon to advance to Sunday's championship game. They faced the Southeast Warriors from Juneau, who upset the Harbor team on Saturday night in overtime. The championship game seemed like a slam dunk for Clekwan after the team led 57-39 at halftime, but the Warriors cut the margin to 2 points before Clekwan won with a final score of 97-89. Stuart DeWitt took MVP and most inspirational honors. Former Juneau Douglas High School player Bubba Larson of the Harbor team was the tournament's top point scorer with a total of 204 points. That's an average of 34 points a game. Charlie Williams was named best fan, and Lawrence Willard was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Longtime tournament organizer Larry Sweet was honored for his dedication to the event. He said this would be his last year at the organizing helm. DeWitt assisted in the organization this year.
For six winters, Skagway has taken one weekend off to go to the movies. The annual Winter Weekend Film Festival, happening this Friday through Sunday at the Skagway AB Hall, has released its motley lineup of flicks for this year. Donna Grifford of Event Organizers Skagway Arts Council helped select the nearly two dozen films for this year's festival.
We try to get a little bit from each different community interest to bring lots of different folk.
Folk of all ages and interests, with films featuring mermaids, headhunters, something called Martinis of the Wilderness, and famous base jumpers.
I was trying to get a little bit of an adrenaline rush going. We have McConkie, which got rave reviews up in Anchorage, and it's a documentary on the life of Shane McConkie, and he's revered as a pioneer of free skiing and base jumping. It has clips of him jumping off of cliffs wearing, you know, just one of those batwing type costumes. I don't know exactly what that's called, but a lot of great landscape visuals, something sure to get people's heart pumping watching what he and his friends are doing.
A Norwegian feature with English subtitles is based on a Joe Nesbo novel about a lavish corporate headhunter slash rare art robber living dangerously on both sides of the law. And for the kids, there's a dedicated children's matinee on Saturday at 4 p.m.
It's mostly animation, and we have had kids jumping up and down, screaming in the theater, clapping their hands, laughing, and running around like crazy, dancing in front of the screen, too. They don't usually stay seated. They end up being up by the screen, just jumping up and down, cheering for different animated characters.
And what would get a kid kicked out of a theater anywhere else brings on encores in Skagway.
As long as time allows, we'll usually play over the favorites again so that they can do more dancing and running.
The Arts Council does their research to pick films that might be a hit in Skagway. They hand-select movies that maybe were big winners in major film festivals around Northwest North America, some local films or subjects of interest, like a white horse teacher's bike commute in minus 40 degree temperatures.
We have a whole Northern Neighbors Night this year, which Dan Sokolowski has sent us Degrees North, which has a lot of photography, animation, and music covering 50,000 kilometers of travel. And so that's like an hour-long feature, as well as a bunch of other shorts from Dawson and Whitehorse area.
The annual Winter Weekend Film Festival starts at the Skagway AB Hall with Northern Neighbors Night on Friday at 6:30 p.m., continues Saturday with a free documentary at 2 p.m. about Fukushima refugees, the children's matinee and feature films, and concludes Sunday with selected shorts and Best of the Northwest Filmmakers Festival. Tickets are $20 for the whole weekend, including a chance to sit in the VIP recliner or $5 to see one event. They're available around town or at the door, and snacks and drinks are available for purchase at the festival. For KHNS News, I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Coast Alaska for their contributions to this report. Join us Thursday morning at 10 for Talk Around Town with host Deborah Schnabel. This week's topic is building a base for winter tourism. That's Talk Around Town this Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS.